That's Papa, or more formally known as Johnny Webb. He plays the guitar, he gardens, he runs multiple faith groups, he's great at tennis, and many other things. Yet no one in my family knows why or how. That is why today, I will be interviewing him, asking him questions about his childhood, his time playing tennis, meeting my grandma, and his faith journey. Welcome back to the Family Table Podcast, where we connect the past with the present through heartfelt conversations with family at, you guessed it, a table. Today is day 6 of the podcast, and I am honored to sit down with one of the coolest people I know, Johnny Webb, to hear his stories and wisdom. He will take us through his life, the good and the bad, so we can hear a glimpse of what it was like to be my grandpa. Before we get into the interview, how about we learn about the kind of person he is from the woman who arguably knows him the best, my grandmother, Debbie Webb.
I guess if I'd have to describe Papa, I would say that 37 years ago when I met Papa, Johnny Flanagan Webb, I was very impressed from the very beginning at his fine manners. He's a wonderful gentleman. He's very kind, and he's very close to God. And I realized that he would be a wonderful husband and a great father for our family.
Now that y'all have a good understanding of my grandfather, let's jump right into the interview. First of all, thank you so much for sitting down with me at the family table to talk about, well, you.
All right.
I started off by asking him how his day was.
It's been good. I got up early this morning, about 6:30, and did my rosary, and then I went over, after I had breakfast, went over to the YMCA and worked a couple hours in the garden over there. And it's a beautiful time. I mean, it's everything's blooming and growing so well. It's exciting to be around there to see such activity.
He then told me about his childhood and growing up in the 50s.
Well, I was born in 49, and some of my last memories, obviously there's been great changes. We grew up on the other side, on East Grove Lane, which is close to Holland Village. And I remember we lived there until I was 5 years old, and then we moved over to close to St. Michael's Parish. Back then, life was a lot more trusting among people. There, people getting, kidnapped and all that just really never happened. I was one of really 6 kids. My one brother, Thomas Edward, died when he was about a year old. He had some kind of a heart defect. We grew up around there, and back then, where it was between River Oaks and Highland Village, and it was right next to our neighborhood. It was the Santa Maria's owned all this property. That they had a bunch of cattle and stuff, so we went over there, and we were 4 years old, and going out with other kids and playing around the neighborhood. We never really, our parents never worried about us. Life was so much simpler.
I then asked him about his tennis journey.
Well, tennis was something, I had a racket as a kid, but I didn't play very much. And my sister Cincy was taking lessons and all that. And I didn't really get into tennis until I was in college. And I love one of my favorite things to do is to play intramurals, and I played for our fraternity team, Lambda Chi Alpha, and that's where a friend of mine, Jim Beckett, he taught me how to hit serves with a twist, and really taught me how to serve, because I never had any formal education, and so I started playing intramurals. I wasn't particularly good. But I love the sport. after then, I started playing in all these U.S. Tennis Association tournaments. Yeah, I had some success at the Coca-Cola Open because that was the largest single tournament amateurs in the United States, and I had some successes. And then I most recently went 3 years ago to Surprise, Arizona, and I played in the national tournament, and we got third in the country. My claim to fame is my partner and I never lost a match, and we played. I mean, I was in my early 70s, and that's getting up there. And I played two matches a day, plus practice in the morning before the matches. And I did that for 3 days. And at the end of the third day, I was losing it physically. It was so much play. And I had rotator cuff problems. And the last match, it was important because we figured we might get to win the whole thing. But we played long enough that finally I woke up and my partner and I were way down in the third set. Then we came back from there ahead of us like 5-0. And we came back and beat them 7-5 in our last match.
I then asked him about meeting my grandmother.
I had been single for a long time, and I met your Nana at it was a party for singles, really, and she was there with her friend Debbie, and I saw her in the distance, and my sister Stella was there, and I was she was with Debbie and this guy that Debbie came with. That her friend Debbie came with, and I just noticed she had a nice sparkle in her eye. She had a sense of humor. She was laughing, but this was at a distance. I didn't get to meet her until she had to get home to get Michael. She lived about 30 minutes away from where we were, 30 to 40 minutes. So it was, she had a drive. She was walking by, and my sister Estelle, asked me if I'd see anybody. I said, that girl earlier. And Estelle went up and said, "Hey, Debbie, I got to introduce you to my brother Johnny right here." And that's where we met. I talked to her just for a little less than a minute before she had to get down the elevator to get on the way to pick up your dad. And I asked, and I said, "Well, can I have your work number?" And she gave it to me. And I called her the next day, and we went out to lunch. And then our lunch meeting was pretty funny because she brought a friend of hers and told me that she wasn't the one for me. And here's her friend, like that. And it wasn't going the way I expected to. Anyway, I walked her out after lunch. I walked her to her car, and although she said, kind of in a certain way, get lost. she's so nice. She's like, it's probably not the best fit. So I walked her to her car and said, "Can I have your work number?" And I think it surprised her so much that she gave it to me.
For clarification, my grandmother is a lot younger than my grandfather, and had just moved from Ohio with my dad. My father's biological father passed away, and my grandmother divorced him prior. Johnny and Debbie went their separate ways until one fateful day.
And then about a year later, I think she was driving by Woodway and saw me. I was out running because I was in the fitness, and she called. She tried to call me, but she looked up my dad, and she called my father, Dad gave Debbie my number, and she called, and I said, "Oh." So he said, "Let's just be friends."
Well, let's just say they didn't just stay friends, and ended up getting married and having two kids. One thing that he said helped him through all this was his faith, so I asked him about his faith journey.
Well, I mean, we grew up in the Catholic family, and my dad was very, especially when he got to retirement, he was going to Mass every day. Although I went to Catholic schools, I was very aware that there was God, and sometimes, in life, it took me longer to really get after it. After I got out of college, I started going to Bible study, and I had a group of people that I meet with once a week, and I just things go a lot better with God in your life, because the wisdom that we have is nothing compared to what God is. And later on in life, I got involved with a group called That Man Is You. Your dad kind of came one year and helped us so much at St. Michael's. And I've been doing that 21 years, and I have learned so much. I think it's the best program for men, for Catholic men, and for Christian. We had a number of Christian guys who were coming too, that where you can really think about your relationship, and not only think, but to work on improving your relationship. I've been this week, I usually go to St. Michael's and also St. Cecilia's, and I go to in Maine, and I'm there if they're going on there. So it really put some wind in my sail, in my spiritual sail.
We then decided to end the interview with advice he wants to give to the younger generation.
Well, I mean, one thing I always say that I think is so important is we don't just go through life. You gotta listen to what you hear. And we make a lot of mistakes. We take good paths and bad paths. But my advice is to learn from every path you take. And you always work on how to improve your life by your experiences you've had. One thing with our That Man Is You, we have maybe 10 men in our group. We talk about things, the important things in life. We keep it secret between ourselves. We don't talk to other people about it. But we try to learn from others how to do things better than, compared to how we treat things in our life. And sometimes I can help others. Sometimes they help me. Most of the time they help me. It's so important to have a target. I mean, it's like sailing. You need to know where you're going to go. And you can't just go willy-nilly and go this way and go that way. Live with a purpose in life. And Jesus Christ is the one.
I then thanked him for the interview and told him how important this interview was to me. And now, I thank you, the listener, for taking the time to listen and learn about my grandfather's life. Join me tomorrow on day 7, where I'll be interviewing my mother on the struggles of taking care of high schoolers. Until next time, I'm Webb Lewis, and this is Family Table.